artificial intelligence for everyday questions and increasingly for help with their finances. But before you let a chatbot weigh in on your money moves, well, there are some important do's and don'ts. Here are set to give an update on Wednesday's deadly police shooting on Williamson Street. Wednesday afternoon.
And I want to start first by
offering Ruiz, there's Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway. Let's listen in.
My immediate concern right now is for the well-being of our community. I want to make sure that everyone who needs it has access to resources and mental health support. Those resources exist and are available to you if you need them. If you need urgent support, please use the 988 Lifeline. You can call or text 988 to be connected with that support. You could also text HOME, that's H-O-M-E, or HOLA, H-O-A-L-A, to 741-741. That's 741-741 to reach a live volunteer crisis counselor 24/7. Dane County also has a crisis hotline. That number is 608-280-2609. Again, that's 608-280-2609. There are also more resources available on the public health website, which is publichealthmdc.com/resources. This is an incredibly difficult moment for the Madison community, and I understand the very strong emotions that people are feeling. I am feeling them too. As a city, as a community, as a society, we have to do better. I want to be clear. It does not matter who you are or what your past is. You should not lose your life as a result of an encounter with law enforcement. That should not happen. Like many in our community today, I have a lot of questions and concerns about what happened yesterday. What decisions were made by officers that led to escalation instead of de-escalation? What different choices could have been made to prevent harm? What needs to change in police policy or training or anything else to prevent more deaths? This officer-involved shooting must be rigorously investigated, and it will be. The process has already started with the Department of Criminal Investigation, but that's just the first step. The DA will play a role, as will the Independent Monitor and the Police Civilian Oversight Board. Our community deserves full transparency and accountability. It's really understandable that people want answers right now. I want them too. But the honest truth is that good investigations take time. We have to let the investigation play out, but believe me, anything that we can do on the city side to hasten that, we will. And beyond the formal investigation, I think there are questions that have to be answered. The days and weeks ahead, the Common Council and myself, as representatives of the community, will do our best to get and share information and to create spaces to have the conversations that need to be had. I'm going to let Council President Madison share more details about community listening sessions, but I also want to mention that there is a vigil tonight that's planned that I encourage people to attend if they feel so motivated. I also want to emphasize that the safety of the community is paramount right now. People have every right to peacefully protest, and I urge people to do that safely and to take care of themselves in the process. The city is working to help facilitate this. I'll close with this. Dr. Anthony of the Urban League said earlier today in their statement that public safety must truly include everyone. I quote that statement, "A just community must protect residents from violence and also protect them from unnecessary harm by the very systems entrusted with their safety. Public safety cannot be measured only by enforcement. It must also be measured by dignity, restraint, accountability, fairness, and the preservation of life," end quote. Madison should be a just community. We can be a just community. But we have work to do to truly be a just community. Now, hand the podium to Council President Sabrina Madison.
All righty. First of all, can you hear me okay? Thank you. All right, so I guess for me, I start with Corey could be a Charles. Charles can be a Clyde who's stepping into the room. Clyde can be a Michael. Michael can be a Tony. Tony can be a LaShawn. A LaShawn can be a James. James can be a Randall. Randall can be a Tyrell. I can go on and on and on and on. But Corey could have been my brother because my brother is homeless. He often rides a bike when we meet up by the beacon. And Corey could have been a Charles. But speaking of Corey specifically, Corey has a family who loves him. I believe Corey has a child. Corey is a human being. Corey came from a mother who gave birth to him. Most of us likely came through into the world through traditional birth, likely. And so you imagine when you take this child home, you have all of these hopes for your kid. You hope they grow up to be astronauts, presidents, entrepreneurs, small business owners, community leaders. You have all of these hopes for your kids. And as your kids mature, you know, you begin to, especially if you're raising a Black child and a Black male child, you have to have very difficult conversations. My son is 31, and I've had those difficult conversations, not just with my own son, but with my three brothers. So the conversations normally look like, don't go out by yourself alone. If the police stop you, you teach your kid all of these mechanics of what you need to do if you're stopped by the police. Make sure the police can see your hands. Just pull over right away. Turn on all of your lights. All of these mechanics of just moving about the world, you sort of have to give this young Black child all of these restrictions on how they move about the world versus this freedom that exists for white young men when you're raising white boys, for example. Most of us have friends who are white folks with little white kids. And I've never heard any of my female white friends with children giving their children the same directions that I have had to give my son. So I just want to go back to Corey is a person. He's a human being. He has a family. He has parents who loved him, you know, who brought him home, who cared for him, who poured into him. And when you're raising a young person into adulthood, as they mature into adulthood, you begin to see some of those hopes that you have for them realized. They become parents, they become career people, they become high school graduates, they become college folks, they become union workers, they become all kinds of things. And so for me, first getting a call from, you know, when you're council leadership, you get all the phone calls about emergencies. So, you know, I get the phone call and your first inclination is to get online and see what is happening. And, you know, I get online to see what is happening and I see a video of who I will learn later is Corey. And I don't see what's happening altogether. There's some cars in a way, but I can hear the sounds. I can hear the sounds. I can hear the words, taser, and I could just hear the shots. And it's the shots that don't escape you. And then I finally see videos with a bit more detail. And I'm telling you, I'm like, my first thought is, when the officer is walking away, why isn't he walking away in cuffs? That's my first thought. Mm-hmm. Because I'm looking at a Corey who can be a Charles, who can be a Clyde, who can be my son, and I'm angry. There's like no way around it. And while we know that there will be investigations and all of that, the thing for me is that his death is final. And for us who have lost loved ones and have grieved loved ones, or for some of us who may be taking a longer path to the passing of a loved one, it is a very difficult thing to experience. So my thoughts are with his family that nurtured him and poured into him, because they no longer have him, because his death is final. There's no coming back from death. So that's where my thoughts have been. I, of course, want an investigation that's comprehensive, that's complete, that's not bullshitting. You know, you want all of those things. And I don't want something that's like a 6-month process or a 9-month process. And we often hear that, you know, it can be a while. So I want to encourage everybody, I want to encourage everybody that we should all be encouraging and pushing everyone part of the process. Push the Department of Criminal Investigations to investigate comprehensively and fairly and release information as soon as possible. We should be pushing and advocating for our district attorney to charge folks when the community is reviewing the information. They may feel through that information we have received, the person should be charged. So I want you to engage your district attorney, our district attorney as well. I want you to engage the Office of the Independent Monitor, because like DCI, they are, you know, they an investigative body as well. Engage them. I want you to engage the Police and Fire Commission. I spent about an hour on the phone earlier today from an attorney out of the Milwaukee area and a local community member, and she serves for her local body's Police and Fire Commission. I want you to file complaints with them. I want you to file complaints with our local Madison Police Department. I want you to take every route to justice for Corey. I don't think you should limit yourselves. I want you to continue to reach out to the Common Council. I want you to continue to reach out to the county. I want you to reach out to your state legislators, because if Corey, who can be Charles, who can be Clyde, who can be Jerome, who can be this person in front of me, then if the protocol to go that quickly to shoot this gentleman in the head 3 times, and that is an option, I don't know how that is an option. My brain has not been able to put that together as an option, because I didn't see anything that warranted it. So if we are told later that that was an option because of what preceded the shooting, then we need to be advocating at every level of government for these kinds of directives to change. I don't think we should end it here, I guess. I think it's at every level of government. It is every body, every election, elected folks at every level of government that has a responsibility. We have folks who are running for office right now. Are the folks listening, talking to those folks, how are they going to respond to this legislatively outside of their vote on August 11th or in November? How does this impact what they're doing right now? How does this impact the policies that they've already drafted and have been running on? Do they respond with different policy legislation? Do they just get to say, we just want an investigation? Well, if they're elected, they have a responsibility to the voters to update legislation around our policing across the state. So the other thing I want to say is I've spent a considerable amount of years giving back into the community, making myself available in tons of spaces. And I'm mostly private because mental health is not something that any of us should take lightly. And I want to implore, especially other alders, to use services available to us. I want to implore community members to access resources. My assumption is that Pastor Allen will share some of that. But the Behavioral Health Center from Dane County is a really great resource and a really great confidential resource. I've made a ton of referrals and have had positive successes with them over the years. The other thing I want to say about the listening session, we would have held that tonight, but overnight or at some point between last night and this morning, I learned there's a vigil for CORE today at 5 o'clock. So that listening session will not happen tonight. I expect to have an update hopefully by Monday morning, because when you're reserving city spaces, there's some logistics that you need to work out first. So I expect to be able to give an update by Monday morning. But again, I just want to end by saying that, just as a reminder, that Corey has a family. The family poured into him, and Corey's family won't get to see his family's hopes and dreams for him. Like the things that we're all sitting here with, who likely, for those of us who have still at least a one living parent, my mother still has hopes and dreams for me, you know? So his family doesn't get to see those things realized for him. And so I've had, 24 hours maybe to process it. But I guess I just want to say the only thing I can say is that's not the option that we want available for us, if that makes sense. The option should be off the table. And if this option was, I don't believe it was an appropriate option to take. And my hope is that the investigation shows that it was not maybe it won't. But whatever the outcome is, I think all of us should be advocating for that option to be taken off the table, and for training to be improved. And maybe we need to be changing our standards of what it looks like to know that you're fit to be in our community, serving our community, because too often we have a Corey, and too often we have a Corey that doesn't get to see their everything that they have for him realized. So that's all I have. And Chief Patterson.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I know we have new folks in the room. I want to just introduce myself quick, but first, thank you, Mayor, and thank you, President Madison, for your comments. My name is John Patterson. I'm the Chief of Police of the Madison Police Department. I moved here in 1994. I've been a member of this community since then, and I've served our community for about a year now as your police chief, but I've served as a member of the department since 1998. I want to begin by speaking plainly. Yesterday, a young member of our community died after an encounter with one of our officers. He was in his 30s, and I know he had a family who cared for him. And I know he had a community who cared for him. His family is grieving today, and our entire community, I believe, is grieving alongside them. I don't want to rush past that fact to share with you what will come next. I want to take time to outline the process for all of you when a death occurs in any community in Wisconsin that involves police. This is an open and active homicide investigation right now. In accordance with state statute, long-standing practice, the Madison Police Department has called for a thorough and independent criminal investigation into yesterday's shooting. So at the request of us at the MPD, the Wisconsin Department of Justice Division of Criminal Investigation, or as has been called DCI by me and others in the past, they will lead this homicide investigation. As you know, DCI is a statewide agency. They have experience and expertise in these types of situations. That involve police and police shootings. So they are fully in charge of this investigation. DCI is fully in charge of this investigation. During these investigations, their agents quickly respond to the scene. They process it for evidence. They thoroughly document the scene. They analyze video that they can find, canvas for video. They interview witnesses. They create their own documents. DCI will also release the name of the officer who fired his firearm at some point in their investigation, and I sincerely hope that is soon. Once all of the facts and information have been gathered, DCI will then present it to the district attorney's office for that review and decision. So this process exists precisely so that no department in Wisconsin investigates itself and its own actions involving its community members. I'm not going to stand here today and render a verdict or an opinion about what the investigation will find, because I believe that will jeopardize what we all want, which is independence, an independent review. What I can promise you is that this department will cooperate fully with DCI, and we will not hide from any aspect of this investigation. So I've been thinking a lot today about a former chief who led this department for 21 years, David Cooper. So long before community policing was a phrase that people seem to use casually now, he built this department upon that conviction. He built it upon something he would plainly say, that you cannot do the job unless you have the support of your community. Years after he left office, he wrote something that I think this department has to sit with very honestly right now. He said that the use of physical force by police is a sacred and public trust. He also said that more than the force of department uses, the less trust and support it has from the people it serves. The more force we use, the less trust we have. That is the tension that we are living through right now in this city, and I can physically feel it. I also want to name something directly, because I know the city has not forgotten about it and will not be silent about it. And I referenced it somewhat yesterday, but this shooting happened a block and a half from where Tony Robinson was shot and killed by a Madison police officer in 2015. It happened near the same corner where Paul Heenan was shot and killed by a police officer in Madison in 2012. So three fatal encounters with your police department within roughly 14 years on the same handful of blocks. Well, I'm not going to stand here and draw a legal conclusion about any of the three, but I'm saying it because I think we all have to recognize it. We have to recognize the trauma that this community has gone through, is experiencing now again, and pretending that this is the first time would ask this community to forget trauma and forget losses endured, and I will not do that. Trust in this department is not something any of us can assume. It is by far our greatest commodity. It must be earned continuously, and I think it can be lost in a single afternoon. The thinness of trust in the city right now did not start.
No, we can shut this down. You can stop talking, because we don't want to hear anything you've been saying. You're going to say the same thing you all say every time a black body gets shot down in this city. This is a corrupt city. That's right. Have no fear. The anti-Zionist is here. You understand me? You won't be able to talk today, because I'm going to keep talking, because I was born to talk my talk and walk my walk too. I told these young people back here on our way here that we have the power, not that badge, not that weapon. We have the power.
All right, you've been watching a news conference with the Madison Police Department and Madison Mayor, as you saw protesters interrupted that news conference while John Patterson was speaking. Once again, this is an update on Wednesday's deadly police shooting on Williamson Street. Chief Patterson himself commented on the trauma that area has experienced, and you saw some of that there. Once again, on Wednesday afternoon, police said an officer shot and killed Corey Ruiz after police say he was armed with a knife and injured another officer trying to detain him. Chief Patterson says the DCI will eventually release the name of the officer who shot Ruiz, and he says he hopes it's soon. We will continue to have team coverage today on News 3 Now 4, 5, and 6, plus our website, channel3000.com. Earlier, if you're just joining us, Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway began this news conference by offering support. She mentioned that people can call the 988 Lifeline if they need to talk about anything. And there is a community listening session that is coming up that they touched on that we will tell you more about in our coverage. So, and she also said, as a city, community, and society, we have to do better. This is bringing up a lot of feelings, of course. We're not that far removed from 2020's Black Lives Matter protests. And we will have much more on this from all sides of this investigation coming up on News 3 Now, live at 4, 5, 6, and 10. Back to your regular programming.
Very comfortable, under 60. It was so nice yesterday as far as the weather went. A little breezy, but temps and dew points were nice. That'll stick around for today and tomorrow. Then they jump up Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Those dew points approach 70 to even 75 degrees. So we will have the moisture to work with for potential stronger storms. Sunday into Monday specifically are the days that we're watching for severe weather chances. Madison's not the bullseye. That's like Eau Claire, that area, or even Hayward, Wisconsin. But this is for most of the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin and Minnesota, the 15% chance of severe weather. So as long as everything comes together, Sunday could be a busy day, and then also Monday, although the threat is pretty much better to our southeast, but still a lot of central and southern Wisconsin included in that 15% chance. And again, this is high when you're looking